Hey Loco athletes, if you're trying to take your game to the next level, you need next level training from our man Marwin Klein at the Sports Performance Academy at Hilton Head Prep. Marwin doesn't just train the Dolphins. The SPA is open to anyone, and he will soon expand to HHCA in Bluffton to offer his next level training services to even more future Loco stars. So give Marwin a call at 713-857-2372 and tell him you're ready to go Loco with your training. Hey Loco sports fans, contact our friends at Hilton Head Insurance and Brokerage for all your personal insurance needs. The folks at HHIMB aren't just another insurance company. They're locals who are involved in the community and care about their neighbors, and their goal is to share their love of the Loco while providing the best customer service possible. If that's what you look for in an insurance company, give HHIMB a call and tell them Loco sent you. Visit them today at HiltonHeadInsuranceAndBrokerage.com. Hilton Head Insurance and Brokerage, proud sponsors of Loco Sports.
Hey Loco Sports fans, are you looking for a law firm with deep ties to the Lowcountry community and an unending desire to make it a better place? If you answered yes, then the Mickelson Law Firm in Bluffton should be your first call. Ryan and Tiffany Mickelson are outstanding members of our community and offer top-notch legal services, including real estate closings, life and business planning, and family law. The next time you need legal assistance, call the Mickelson Law Firm at 843-757-9330 or visit them at BlufftonLawFirm.com. Go Loco!
When you need a home inspection, you want someone you can trust, someone who feels like a friend. That's why you need to call on Homegrown Home Inspections for a quality, detailed inspection and the kind of customer service you will only get from a small, locally owned family business. Call 843-949-8802 or visit homegrowninspectionsc.com to book your appointment today. Go Loco!
Hey Loco sports fans, you know we're all about keeping it local, and that goes for pizza night too. When you've got a craving for the best pie in town or the best kept secret, their amazing mac and cheese, keep it local with Local Pie. They have two locations on the Promenade in Bluffton and on New Orleans Road on HHI, where they serve up incredible wood-fired pizza featuring regionally sourced ingredients, and they're committed to giving back to the community and protecting the environment. So when it's time for takeout, keep it local with Local Pie. A proud sponsor of Loco Sports.
Calling all Buford football fans. Brody's Bar and Grill is your family neighborhood restaurant, but it's also the place to be after the game because players and coaches get 15% off when they're in team gear. With an expansive menu that has something for everyone, including banging pre-gamers like loaded pierogies and beer-battered fried pickle spears, a wide range of sandwiches, burgers, wraps, and salads, and some of the best wings south of Buffalo, you can't lose when you post-game at Brody's, and they're a proud sponsor of Loco Sports.
Hey, Loco sports fans, welcome to another edition of the Loco Pigskin Podcast. I'm Justin Jarrett, joined as always by Wes Kerr, and we are back to break down week 10 of the high school football season. Final week of the regular season, Wes, so we are ready to roll into the playoffs this week, but had some business to take care of on Friday first, and we'll start in Region 7 4A, where May River had already clinched the region title, so the outcome did not matter on Friday at Hilton Head High, but we know the Sharks wanted to win that win, and they had a little bit of a fight on their hands. We weren't sure how May River would approach this one, but it seemed like they played it straight up, and Hilton Head came out of the gate even without Jalen Sneed and jumped on the Sharks early, actually had the lead at halftime, but May River comes back to win it 33-16. Great performance there by the Sharks in the second half, but you were there, Wes. Do we have any concerns about May River going to the postseason after a little bit of a shaky first half here in the season finale?
Yeah, certainly was a tough first half for the Sharks, but they did bounce back in a big way in that second half, and I really like this team heading into the postseason. Certainly not the complete effort you wanted, but a solid performance, especially to close it out and build some momentum into the postseason. But a terrific win for May River as they cruise in the playoffs on a six-game winning streak, and they run the table in Region 7-4A with the victory over the Seahawks. And, you know, this was a season at the crossroads for the Sharks, and, you know, they were crushed by Thompson, and there were some question marks on both sides of the ball. They took down that really solid Blythewood team, and then they ran the region table. So now they're rolling into the playoffs as the unbeaten region 7-4A champs and 8-2 overall. A great season from Mate River, and this was a competitive game. You got to give some credit to the Seahawks, and they give the Sharks a terrific battle. What an unreal game from Chase McCracken and losing effort, leading the show with Jalen Seed out of the lineup. He goes for 206 yards and 2 touchdowns. He was the rock of that offense. He just kept picking up some big chunks of yards all game long, and they did a great job keeping Garvin Douglas off the field early, ran the ball well, ate up some clock, controlled the possession in that first half, and executed really well. And the defense played outstanding. The Seahawks did a great job against Douglas in that first half. That defensive line came prepared. A big game for Matthew Larkby. Jaden Gilliam picked him off in the first half, but Douglas made some adjustments, came alive in that second half alongside Jan Allen. They both scored a pair of rushing touchdowns each, and they did struggle with some penalties, especially early on. Both teams did, but certainly a point of emphasis, a couple holding calls, which were a concern for May River, just couldn't establish that offense, but they were able to find it after halftime. But certainly not the performance you wanted to see from Douglas going into the postseason, but they were able to turn it on late. Jalen Allen, he's such an explosive runner, pulled off a tremendous stiff arm late in that game for a touchdown, also broke several tackles on his way to that pair of scores. What a weapon he should be in the playoffs, both in the receiving and the rushing game. And Maxwell Kimmel was excellent, both blocking and receiving at tight end. This offense really found its groove in the second half after kind of a stagnant first 24 minutes. And then the Seahawks, you know, they had a chance to pull this one off. They had a 10-6 lead at halftime. The defense just couldn't hold down Douglas and Allen, that group, in the second half. And a couple missed opportunities. A muffed punt really was that turning point. Gave the Sharks a short field, and then Douglas punched it in to make it that two-score game, which really put the Sharks in control. And then Owen Bayes, under center, of course, taking the place of the injured Snead, made a beautiful throw to Jaden Gilliam, who had a great night on both sides. Great to see him going for the Seahawks. Just couldn't get going in the third and fourth quarter. That Shark defense standing tall. Great game for Chris Snowden and Cade Carpenter. Darian Perry excelling in coverage. And so outstanding performance down the stretch for May River. And now they get North Middle Beach back at home in the postseason, round one. That's going to be a tough game, going to be a rocking atmosphere. These playoff games at the Shark Tank are absolutely electric. The Chiefs are having a down year compared to what we've seen in the past, but they are still certainly a dangerous group to face. Region 6 is absolutely stacked, as we've seen the last couple of years. And the Sharks, they're going to have to be at the top of their game. So looking forward to that one. I'll be out on the tank on Friday night for the first round of the South Carolina High School League 4A playoffs. And we'll have our good friend Ian Guerin, who covers the area teams in Horry County, to talk about this matchup on the preview pod this week.
Yeah, that's going to be a great benefit for us with these matchups this week, with so many of our teams playing against the Myrtle Beach region. Is we'll be able to pull Ian in and get some insight on those games, and we'll talk about those more on the preview show. But certainly, as 1-5 matchups go, that is a more intriguing one than you would usually expect, because definitely North Myrtle Beach, quality squad, finishing fifth in Region 6. So should be interesting for sure. On Friday night there, with May River looking to play a full four quarters of excellent football. Beaufort High School was already locked into the number 2 spot in that region. So nothing, again, no standings at play here in this one. But the Eagles definitely wanted to finish on a high note, because they are going to have a tough road coming in the playoffs. And they did so. They went to Colleton County and won 44-6. You know, strong showing, dominant performance from Buford. Had success running the ball with Caleb Ulmer, as well as in the passing game. Zion Odom having another nice game, and Tyler Haley throwing it well. So, you know, Buford definitely goes into the playoffs as feeling like it was somewhat of a disappointing regular season, just because they didn't win that region title. But this is a team that's 8-2 and has put up 45 and 44 points the past 2 weeks, and also happens to have a very good defense. I think it's still a team that can compete with some of the top teams in Class 4A, but you look at the path they have, and the Eagles are going to have to take South Florence at home and then go to Myrtle Beach. It is going to be really tough. They're going to have to be in top form. I think we saw that they're close to that right now, but whether it's going to be good enough to win these next two games is going to be yet to be seen.
That is an absolutely brutal draw to start the postseason. Going to take a lot from this Buford team to go far in this playoff run, but a terrific performance from Buford High to close it out. the regular season. We wanted to see that strong effort for all four quarters, and I think they did here against College and County. Great to see Casey Fields get going. He's had somewhat of a slow start, but awesome to see him use that tremendous speed, find the end zone twice. A great compliment to their star receivers in Zyron Odom and then McLeod Rochelle as well. And they wanted to rest Amari Morris. May have been banged up a little bit, but Caleb Ulmer stepped up in a big way, two rushing touchdowns, and he's certainly someone that they could turn to in some big spots to spell Morris. He scored on two trick plays. Awesome stuff there, looking to find a way to build this confidence, this Eagle offense going to the postseason if he can add that strong run game to a potent passing offense. Tyler Haley throwing the ball well. Good to see him build some momentum going into the playoffs. And great effort from that defensive line. Iman Smalls, Alvin Wilson holding down the fort. They're going to be enormous factors in the postseason. That defense is going to have to find a way to get in the backfield and disrupt a couple of really strong offenses in the playoffs. And it's going to be tough from the get-go because, that opening round matchup with South Florence, that is going to be absolutely a big-time challenge. Going to need a terrific performance from Haley and what should be a tremendous playoff battle between two fantastic offenses between the Beaufort High Eagles and South Florence on Friday. And unfortunately, it's the end of the road for Colleton County. A tough situation for Chris Howell. Just didn't have much time to really gel going into a tough region. Lost a couple games at the beginning of the year due to COVID protocol. But getting back to the field was huge, and I'm excited for the future of this Cougar team going forward and looking forward to seeing them play a full year, hopefully, in 2022.
Yeah, that's what you would hope. You know, certainly we saw this with Terrence Ash at Battery Creek last season. That first season being very difficult when he didn't get the preparation time ahead, and we started to see them take a little bit of a step this year. But you know, it definitely Howell will benefit from a full season next year, hopefully. I mean, I hope we're still not talking about COVID next fall, but that would be a terrible thing. But certainly, you know, there's stuff to work with there. They showed some real good signs on defense early in the season, especially, the first half of games, they were very good on defense. So I think there's definitely some good signs there. There's some stuff to work with, and they'll get back to the drawing board and unfortunately won't get an opportunity to participate in the postseason and get those extra reps. But, they got five games in and you start to build toward next year and hopefully have a good spring and get summer workouts going and really get it going again next year. But Beaufort High definitely poised for some exciting postseason action, hopefully at least a couple of rounds. But it's going to be a great game on Friday against South Florence. Looking forward to that one. And you just hope the Eagles can put their best foot forward and see how far they can take this thing. All right, moving on to the final game in Region 7-4A. And it was a disappointing game for the Loco squad. Bluffton needed a win to try to improve its playoff standing. Bobcats were locked into at least a number five seed, and that's where they'll land because they were shut out 35-0 at James Island, continuing a trend recently of James Island defense playing absolutely lockdown football. They shut out that high-flying Bobcat attack that really had started to slump down the stretch and it was not putting up many points. But James Island continues to play exceptionally well on defense and also put up 35 on offense this week. So, the Trojans are looking like they could be a little bit of a dangerous team, but they will also have a tough draw. They'll have to go to West Florence, another team from that loaded Region 6. So the Bobcats actually get a little bit of a break because they'll go to number two North Augusta from Region 5. So the matchup's not necessarily reflecting the quality of the squads going into the first round of the playoffs, but James Island definitely looks like a team on the rise and Bluffton it looks like they're in trouble going into the postseason.
Yeah, James Island, really impressive to close out the regular season. Bluffton certainly limping into the playoffs, but heck of a job by the Trojans. This defense is on fire right now. 35-0 shutout win over Bluffton, and it's just been tough for this Bobcat offense to find their groove down the stretch here in region play. Von Hohenstraten was banged up in that Hilton Head game. This group just not able to find it against a really talented James Island group that is looking like a real problem for anyone to face in the playoffs. But as he said, it's going to be tough right away for the Trojans against a fantastic West Florence team. And that Trojan offense, with Terry McKelvey, a couple really impressive weapons, Wushi Ravino in that passing game, they've been able to move the ball. And they did it again here against a very tough Bluffton defense. So now if you're John Hopta, You know, you got a ton of motivation heading into the playoffs, and you got an opportunity at North Augusta. Can you find a way to ignite this offense? You know, the talent's there with guys like Roderick Buxton at running back, some really outstanding receivers, and Jalen Linder, Kamari Simmons, alongside K.J. Frazier. And the defense has some outstanding leaders as well, and D.J. Aiken, Jeremiah Curry. So I think this Bluffton team, they come into North Augusta prepared. I think they come in hungry, and I think they come in ready to battle against a very good team.
Yeah, I mean, it's a number one seed that finished 5-5 in the regular season. So definitely a little different dynamic than, you know, over in Region 6 where you've got 7-3 South Florence is coming in as the four seed. Just crazy stuff over there. But yeah, it's a great matchup for Bluffton as far as being the number five seed and having to go on the road against a one. You would think that would be a total mismatch, but this doesn't look like that. It looks like a game they could be competitive in, and certainly the same for James Island going against West Florence. And then they would get potentially, yeah, so North Augusta, two seed that's 5-5. It's a little different than on the other side of the bracket where you've got a four seed in South Florence who's sitting at 7-3 with three losses in one of the most competitive regions in the state. So it's a great draw for Bluffton. We'll see what they can do. And then James Island gets a good draw as well. If they can knock off West Florence, they could be facing the number one seed, South Aiken, from that region, which is a game that they could be competitive in as well. So 4A bracket, definitely interesting. Most of our Region 7 4A teams got a tough end of the draw. Hilton Head did get a nice matchup. They'll go to Aiken in the first round, 3-6 versus 3-7. So we'll have more on all those playoff matchups for you in the preview show later on in the week. But let's move on to Region 8 3A, and Battery Creek was finally back on the field after a couple of weeks off, had not played since October 8th. And the Dolphins, you know, we weren't sure what to expect in a must-win game at North Charleston, had to win to get into the playoffs, and had not really had but a couple of full practices under their belt since that last game because of COVID-19 protocols. But they came out and played their best game of the year by far, dominated the Cougars 34-0. And how about Jeremiah Dilbert? 24 carries for 286 yards and 5 touchdowns on the ground. Absolutely phenomenal performance by Dilbert in that offensive line. It's what we've been saying they were capable of all year, and now we've seen it against the North Charleston team that looked like it would be a tough matchup. And now the Dolphins go in as the number three seed, and they've got a chance to pull off an upset at Crestwood on Friday. I think this is just great news for Terrence Ash and the Dolphins. What an impressive performance in a must-win game.
Absolutely. Wow. What a job this Battery Creek Dolphins team. Not only do they punch their playoff ticket, but they dominate North Charleston 34-0. And not just that, but this was their first game in 3 weeks coming out of COVID protocol. And, you know, getting back to action in a winner-go-home game, just incredibly tough to do. What an unbelievable job by Terrence Ash and this Dolphin group getting the job done and moving on to the postseason. And Jeremiah Dilbert just putting this team on his back. What a monster showing from him. 5 touchdown runs over 280 yards. The Dolphins putting it in the hands of their best offensive player, and he gets it done. So just what an unbelievable clutch showing by the star running back in Jeremiah Dilbert. And that defense was phenomenal. Shutout performance. This entire unit stepping up and leading Battery Creek to that postseason berth. Quattro Livingston, excellent once again, but so many others stepping up as well for this Dolphin team. And just an amazing story. I can't stress how tough it is to come back and play after a multi-week COVID pause, having to shake off rust quickly and get back at it for a game that will determine the end fate of your season. And they did have some small practice in pods, but just didn't have many opportunities for full official practices. And a tremendous job by this group. Congratulations to the Dolphins. What an impressive accomplishment in Terrence Ash's second year. And not only do they lock up their playoff berth, they earn the number three seed and will head to Crestwood next week in a game I think they could be very competitive in and maybe even pull off the upset.
Yeah, I mean, I think so too. Crestwood is a solid squad, no doubt, but not a 4-1 matchup. You know, you've definitely got a chance to compete here. Would have been a lot more difficult to have to go to Camden. So I think the way the Dolphins played this week, if they can duplicate that effort, they've got a great chance to be able to go on the road and pull off an upset and get a huge playoff win that would really you know, be tremendous for developing that program and getting people excited about football at Battery Creek. So great job to Terrence Ash and the Dolphins last week. Jeremiah Dilbert, hopefully you can keep it going next week at Crestwood. All right, let's move on to the 2A region. And unfortunately, it was another tough night for Ridgeland-Hardeeville. We knew it was going to be a rough one for the Jaguars because they had to go to Phillips Simmons. The Iron Horses are a powerhouse this year. They had just knocked off Timberland to claim the region title, and they took care of Ridgeland-Hardeeville 57-12. And once again, you know, a tough night for the Jags, who have had a tough season. They'll finish winless this year, but certainly we saw some growth here. More importantly, we got to see the Jaguars play football this year, which is something they were not able to do last year. And Rodney Barr certainly is a great pickup for that program. You know, he's been working with the young players and developing them. They only have a couple of seniors that are playing key roles for them, so they're going to have a lot of guys back. They were without their quarterback this week. Maurice Brown was out, but Hamid Brown stepped in, and he threw a touchdown pass to Winston Smith and also added a touchdown run of his own for the Jags. That's one of the guys that they'll be bringing back. And, you know, we've talked a lot about Rodney Barr and his keep chopping mentality. And he told me after the game over text that, you know, 2022 starts right now. So it's time to, you know, it's time for them to get back to work and start planning for 2022. And I think he's the right guy for the job. And I think they're going to have success sooner rather than later.
I certainly agree. I mean, it may have been a winless season, but I think the real win this year was being able to play an entire region schedule. And they have made some terrific strides this year, and definitely not the end you wanted to see, but Rodney Barr, he is just getting started here at Ridgeland-Hardeeville, and these guys will continue to keep chopping over these next coming months into the 2022 season. And, you know, it was so tough to lose the talent that they lost this past year. You talk about some of the guys that left the program, unfortunately, and you have to work with an inexperienced new group. So it was a very tall task, and they put together a very strong effort in a really tough region. And I expect Barr and this team to continue to put the work in into the offseason and keep laying the foundations for what I think can be a very special program in the coming years.
Yeah, and you know, they were an eyelash away from beating Burke a couple weeks ago, and that would have changed the dynamic entirely, and we would have been talking about, you know, a three-way tie for a playoff spot potentially, you know, that would have changed everything. One win, one play at the end of a game would have really changed how you felt about this season. So I think it's important to take a step back sometimes and you know, recognize progress wherever it is, even if it's not in the win column. And certainly they were getting better as the season went on. The schedule was tough for them with Phillips Simmons at the end. That was going to be a tough matchup no matter what. But definitely saw some growth there. And I do think Rodney Barr is, you know, he's a proven coach, and I think he's got the right mentality to build something there. So we'll continue to keep an eye on the Jags. And hopefully we'll see a lot more success for them in 2022. But let's move into the Skeezah region. Whale Branch had the week off going into the playoffs, so we'll move into Skeezah 2A, where the region champs and the defending state champs kept rolling. Hilton Head Christian Academy, we've been calling them a juggernaut. I think that the name fits. They rolled Hilton Head Prep 42-0 on Friday afternoon out in Sea Pines. And just another dominant effort from that defense that gets overshadowed a little bit by Jace Blackshear and the offense. But man, that defense is nasty. And Speedy Robinson continues to show you all the incredible things he can do on a football field.
Yeah, those Junkyard Dogs are back, and HHEA looking ready for another state title run. An absolutely dominant performance against Hilton Head Prep on both sides to wrap up a second straight perfect regular season. Outstanding accomplishment from Ron Peduzzi and this team. And Jace Blackshear, he put on a phenomenal performance through the air, threw for 236 passing yards and a touchdown. And then Speedy Robinson was outstanding. He scored three times, ran over 100 yards, and they rode his legs for most of that first half. And his threat on the ground really opens up that passing game. Just so many ways this team can beat you, and absolutely worthy of that juggernaut description right there. So, and then Jax Lanier, he has really emerged not only as that go-to defender that he's been all throughout his Hilton Head Christian Academy career, but also as a receiver. And he's been stretching the field as well, hauling in some deep passes, such an incredible explosiveness and really a versatile player. He can thrive at running back and also beat you deep. So what a fantastic weapon that Lanier has been, not only on defense, but on offense as well. Really the heart and soul of this Hilton Head Christian Academy team. And they did a great job on Lonsell Daly early, forced Benoma to throw it in Bonomo just was frustrated all game long. They went negative in its sole yardage in the first half. Just so much credit to Hilton Head Christian Academy and that defense playing some lights out ball, kept stopping the Dolphins in the backfield. A great job by Matt Smith and then Jackson Lanier, the senior leader of this team. Just really incredible to see how much the defense has improved from that week zero game against the Kings Academy all the way to now. A really outstanding job by that Hilton Head Christian Academy defense, and just too dominant at the line. I mean, the holes were massive all day long for Speedy Robinson and Daly. Just couldn't find much room on the other side. And just a terrific job that the Eagles did against an outstanding 1,000-yard rusher. Lonzo Daly has had an outstanding year, and this prep team has had an outstanding year. I mean, talk about what they've done this year, picking up 6 wins, phenomenal work by Dave Adams, especially with such a thin roster. Really impressed by Hilton Head Prep. They're going to have a tough game, though, next week at Williamsburg Academy. But, man, Eagles are looking – they are looking primed for another state title run. And I think they're peaking at the right time. And this defense is absolutely on fire. And Jace Blackshear is cooking. So I think they should have a big night on Friday against Carolina Academy in what will be a rematch of last year's championship game.
Yeah, that's interesting. You don't see that very often with the first-round rematch of last year's championship game, but obviously Carolina lost a lot off of last year's team. So I don't expect that to be much of a match in the first round. Hilton and Christian just playing way too well right now for almost anybody to hang with them, but certainly not Carolina. So I think Hilton and Christian in great shape going into next week. And Hilton Head Prep has had games where they've played well enough on both sides of the ball that I could see them giving Williamsburg a game on the road. But certainly, I think we're starting to see the lack of depth start to really take its toll as the season wears on here. And guys are just carrying a heavy load. I mean, you don't see many successful teams in the postseason who have relied on one running back to really carry them all season long. It's just a lot to ask of a guy's legs to do that week in and week out. And certainly the more successful teams have different guys they can rotate in there and not lose much. So I think it's going to be tough for Prep.
Yeah, Jake Rodney Brown did not play in that game. He was on the sideline. So certainly another big factor for the Dolphins. That's an enormous loss. I mean, he's been outstanding on both sides, and you hope to see him back in the lineup in the postseason.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we talked early in the year about how important it was when JP2 was without Mark Knight. You could maybe argue that Jake Rodney Brown is even more valuable to his team or more critical to his team on both sides of the ball than Mark Knight. So that's definitely a huge piece that they're missing. And, you know, I don't know whether he'll be able to get back out there for the playoffs, but that would definitely change the metric a little bit. They're a much better team when he's on the field, and certainly winning 6 games shows what they're capable of. So we'll see what happens on Friday night, but should be some good matchups in the first round of the playoffs. And two more Loco teams are playoff bound from that region. Buford Academy locks up the number 2 seed in a home game with a thoroughly impressive performance, winning 64-28 over John Paul II. And, you know, two of the Golden Warriors touchdowns came on Mark Knight kickoff returns. So really only 14 points allowed from the defense. Now, Christian Tilton got banged up in this one and actually came out of the game in the second half. He was holding his right hand, but Chris Myers did say he's expected to be back for Friday. It was not a bone situation, so he's going to be okay, which is great news for them. But he was not himself after taking some hits early on in that game. And Braden Dineen was phenomenal. I mean, he was lights out. We've talked about his growth this year. He had 4 carries for 67 yards on the ground, 6 for 8 for 94 yards and 2 touchdowns passing. Really managed the game well, and he had 2 picks, including a 55-yard pick 6 on defense. So a tremendous performance from BA, which really played better than the score indicated against Hilton Head Christian last week. And this week they came out and showed what they can do against JP2.
That was a huge statement win made there by the BA Eagles, putting up 64 on the Golden Warriors. Unbelievable game for Braden Dineen. He's doing it on both sides. 2 picks, including a pick 6, and he throws for 2 touchdowns on offense. What an incredible two-way player he has been. Made some huge strides this year for the Eagles, and the run game was excellent. Devontae Green leading the way with 3 scores. How awesome has that three-way rushing attack been with Devontae Green, Cody Dalrymple, and Jackson Porter, an outstanding trio of running backs who all play both ways and are so explosive both on the offensive and the defensive sides. And, you know, I thought the defenses would show up in this game, but both offenses really broke through early, a couple big plays on both ends. And I thought Tilton played really well, unfortunately was banged up in this game. Mark Knight had a remarkable 4-touchdown effort, just couldn't keep up with that incredible showing from Buford Academy. Devontae Green, just so shifty, quick, and elusive at running back. And then Brady Dineen, who he has had some struggles throwing the ball, but he was outstanding in this one. Went over the top to Jackson Porter for a big play early on and threw the ball really well. And, man, we had some fireworks out in the field. 2 straight kickoff returns for both teams. Just a crazy game here to end the regular season. It seems like every time these two teams play, we get a crazy high-powered shootout and another one this year. But, man, I am impressed by the versatility of this Buford Academy offense. The passing game has been energized, and when you have that talented run game and a confident quarterback now who can throw it, I think this team can be very dangerous going forward. And I love this defense. Just so many playmakers have come up with some important turnovers. Jackson Porter always coming up big, and Dineen with an unbelievable game, doing it on both sides, a couple touchdown passes, 66 rushing yards, 6 tackles, and 2 picks, including that pick six you mentioned. Talk about making an impact, doing it all over the field. And what an effort for Mark Knight. 4 scores on the day to lead JP2. Unfortunately, just unable to overcome Tilton at full strength, and just an exceptional performance by BA on both sides in the shootout. And going to be tough for the Golden Warriors taking on a very good PD Academy team. And I really like Mark Clifford and this BA group to come out of this half the bracket and take on Hilton Christian Academy in Charleston. They have to get past Florence Christian, which I think they should do. And then they'll set up most likely a tough battle against Williamsburg for the right to get to Charleston Southern.
Yeah, I would almost be surprised if they weren't there. I mean, I think they're that good. I just think that Hilton Head Christian is so good that it really masks how good Buford Academy was in that game, because they played exceptionally well early on. You know, just a couple of things went HHCA's way and kind of let them pull away. But, you know, I can see that being a much more competitive game in a rematch, especially because Mark Clifford is an excellent coach, and he's a tough guy to beat twice in a season. So, you know, when he's had a chance to see you and game plan for you, that's not going to be an easy week for you, no matter how good you are. So I like Buford Academy a lot. I was incredibly impressed with the way they bounced back from that tough game, you know, getting beaten up physically, and to be able to come out and be the physical team against JP2 was really impressive. You know, there's some guys on that team. There's some dudes. Jackson Porter is excellent. Walker Day is really becoming a threat too. There's a bunch of guys on that team who are really good football players. Mark Clifford knows what he's doing, and they're going to be dangerous in the playoffs, no doubt about it. And JP2 is a good football team too. You know, I mean, they've got a tough matchup round one at PD, but certainly that's a team we've seen grown up a lot this year. And Mark Knight is, you know, going to be motivated playing potentially his final game as a Golden Warrior. So, you know, I like them in the playoffs too. It's going to be fun. And over on the skis of 1A bracket, we're going to have some action as well. Thomas Hayward, of course, the 3-time defending state champs in skis of 1A, and they are poised to do it again. They wrapped up region play with a 53-7 win over Greenwood Christian. A little bit of everybody getting in on the action. 7 different players scored touchdowns for the Rebels. And that's a great example of the depth that this team has. They can just keep running guys out there, even with their 3rd-string quarterback, and still have 7 different guys get in the end zone. I don't see really much of a challenge for Hayward in the first round for sure, but they're going to face some tough battles later on in the playoffs against Thomas Sumter, and then, you know, potentially either Dorchester Academy or Calhoun Academy. But I still, as good as some of those teams are, it's hard for me to imagine Thomas Hayward losing unless they don't play well themselves. They would have to almost make a lot of self-inflicted mistakes for this thing to fall apart.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think Thomas Hayward is the clear favorite, and for them to give up the state championship, definitely going to have some problems in execution that will lead to an upset there. But I think Thomas Hayward is absolutely the favorite to win the Skeeza 1A title for a 4th consecutive season, and another impressive showing to finish off the regular season. 9-1, just a loss to Bluffton, a 53-7 clobbering of Greenwood Christian, and just absolutely blitzed the Hawks in the first half. As you mentioned, 7 different players find the end zone, and that was a great point. You talked about the depth and the versatility that they've shown all season, all hands on deck mentality. You lost your starting quarterback, number one quarterback in Dietrich Schufert. Brandon Howard banged up, and now you bring in a third string guy in Mansell, and he has been outstanding coming in there. And he was fantastic once again. Antonio Banner, Anthony Fripp, Nicholas Robinson, and Walker Taylor, all with touchdown runs. Robinson with two of them. And this was the game to give your starters some rest. And they've been able to do that a lot this year. What a way to bounce back for Tyshawn Mansell. He throws a pick six in this game, but gets taken off the board. And he makes most of that second chance. Really impressed by the drive and the mentality of this young quarterback coming in a big spot late in the season, and he's a couple games in region play and being able to seal that title, and now looking to continue it heading into the playoffs and giving his Rebels a fourth consecutive championship, and James Turbo Townsend also making an impact with the punt return. And Brandon Howard, he didn't play quarterback, but he still made his mark on defense, took a pick down to the end zone for a touchdown. And, you know, if he can focus on defense and the Rebels can find that success for Mansell, I think that would be absolutely huge to conserve Howard on that side of the ball. But certainly he can come in under center if he's ready and if he's needed. And how about the defensive effort? Four interceptions for this red-hot Rebel defense, two for Cody Parker, who had a big day, and Jordan Michael added the pick along with Howard. So a great showing by the Rebel defense, and Thomas Hayward is rolling right now. That run game has been electric. That defense has been superb, and I think it should be smooth sailing next week to start the playoffs against Dillon Christian, and I think they should be the favorites to capture that incredible fourth consecutive state championship.
Yeah, I mean, I think so too. I think Dorchester would love another shot at them. You know, Dorchester played them tough, has gotten better as the season gone on. Certainly Thomas Sumter and what they did to Buford Academy up there was eye-opening. But the overall record, you know, doesn't really bear out. That looks like a fluke in retrospect. So, you know, I still think Hayward's the team to beat, but, you know, Colleton Prep would like another shot at him too in the second round. So, you know, maybe they'll knock off Thomas Sumter, because the Warhawks are going in hot as well. They won another game on Friday, 14-7 over St. John's Christian. This was a huge game because it determined the 3-4 seed in the region. And so this was a big win for Colleton Prep to move up to the 3 line and face Thomas Sumter instead of a rematch with Calhoun, which had just beaten them a couple weeks back. So great showing by this Warhawk defense that has been solid all season. I know you were impressed with them when they played Hilton Head Prep and held the Dolphins to 6 points, but they've turned in another great effort here on defense. Noah Catterton, Gus Warren, Walker Nettles, the guys we've been talking all year about, that defensive line doing a fantastic job. And, you know, I like the way they're playing going into the playoffs. We've said all year that they were going to be a tough out because of their work ethic and just the hard-nosed style they play. And, you know, I think it's going to be a battle up there at Thomas Sumter.
Yeah, I agree. That was a huge win for Colleton Prep. They lock up the 3 seed. Another fantastic defensive effort. What an impressive win against a very good St. John's Christian team that we were thinking earlier this season could be a big-time challenge to Thomas Hayward, but that has not been the case. And Colleton Prep earning that 3 seed and topping St. John's Christian 14-7. And Cole Davis leading the way on offense. What a terrific weapon he has been in that run game. And a fantastic pass catcher as well, really shining alongside Drew Murdahl, and he scored both touchdowns in this game. Davis did, and how good has this Warhawk defense been? Outstanding. They held down a very good Cavalier offense, just 7 points, and they've now allowed just 21 in their last 2 games going into the playoffs, so that's a great track record going into the postseason, and such a hard-working defensive unit. Another outstanding game for Noah Catterton and Walker Nettles, and so many others being major factors leading a stout defensive line. This group has really put in the extra effort all year long, and certainly it's paying off now with the Warhawks taking that 3 seed in Region 1. And I really like their chances against Thomas Sumter. I think this will be a very competitive, evenly matched game. This Warhawk team, they're really built for this moment here in the postseason. They play such a tough brand of defense, run the ball well, and it seems like that's what wins you games in the playoffs. And I certainly think that this Colleton Prep Warhawks team has what it takes to knock off Thomas Sumter and get that rematch with Thomas Hayward.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're a quality team that's playing their best football right now. And I think Thomas Sumter is a quality team that's probably not playing their best football right now. So I think it's a pretty even matchup. I think Colleton Prep's got a chance. It's a tough environment to play in up there. You know, I've been up there for playoff games before. It's a good environment for the home team. So it won't be easy, but certainly Colleton Prep has shown some mettle here late in the season. And, you know, they played a really tough schedule. They're battle tested. I think they're going to be ready for a fight up there. And I think it's probably going to come down to the fourth quarter. So should be a great Friday night getting into those high school football playoffs. And we'll look forward to previewing all those games for you later on in the week with our friend Ian Guerin from Myrtle Beach. But first things first, let's finish this one up, Wes, with our Players of the Week, sponsored by the Sports Performance Academy at Hilton Head Prep. Our friend Marwan Klein is training next level athletes right here in the Loco. He's going to be opening up classes at Hilton Head Christian Academy as well. And those are open to all athletes. So sign up with Marwan Klein at the Sports Performance Academy and take your game to the next level. Like these players, our Players of the Week. Wes, you get to go first. Who you got, man?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Battery Creek's Jeremiah Dilbert. What a clutch performance in a winner go home game. A monster outing, 286 yards on 24 carries and 5 touchdowns to lead the Dolphins to a 34-0 shutout victory to punch their ticket into the postseason. Unbelievable job from Dilbert. He scored all 5 touchdowns. What a strong and powerful runner he has been all of his career here at Battery Creek. And I think he has a chance to keep this up and lead this Terrence Ash-led group to an upset next week if at Crestwood, if they can establish that ground game. And what a weapon he has been. What a memorable senior year for Dilbert, and he is not done yet. And then for my defensive player of the week, I'm going to go with Brade Dineen. And this is more of a hybrid pick. I think we could have had him for the offensive player too, because he did absolutely everything for the BA Eagles. He threw for 2 touchdowns. He picked off 2 passes, took 1 back to the end zone on top of 6 tackles. Just an unbelievable game for Brade Dineen, and an outstanding effort on both sides. And he's been an absolute fighter this year, and he's improved his play at quarterback tremendously. Especially from last season. And he continues to make such a monster impact in the middle of that defense. And he is providing some outstanding leadership to this BA team on both sides. And we can put him on either award, but I'll give him my defensive player of the week for week 10.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out whether I was going to use him for offense or defense if you didn't take him. So, yeah, good call there. We were definitely on the same page as far as that goes. So that leaves me with some limited options. Those were my top 2 guys, but I'll throw in another BA player and go with Devontae Green. Just kind of like your guy Dineen. I could have gone with him if we had a special teams player of the week. He could have been that. But Green, 10 for 54 and 2 touchdowns on the ground. And then he had an 88-yard kickoff return touchdown and an 80-yard punt return touchdown, 214 all-purpose yards for Devontae Green. And that's a guy who missed a couple of games, or didn't miss the games, but was extremely limited in a couple of games earlier this season. And we really saw how much of a difference he makes. He is a powerful runner right up there with anybody else in Skeezah in this area, and really a game changer on offense, because you really have to respect him on every play. They run so much misdirection, it can really open things up on the backside when the defense goes with him. He's a great player. He was very impressive, especially on special teams and the dueling kickoff returns with Mark Knight, who scored 4 touchdowns, by the way, and won't make our players of the week this week. So shout out to Mark Knight with a rushing touchdown, a receiving touchdown, and 2 kickoff return TDs. But I got to go with my guy, Devontae Green. And then over on defense, don't have a ton of stats on defensive players thus far, but how about Thomas Hayward's Cody Parker? He's been a big playmaker all season long. He had a touchdown reception, but also had 2 picks on defense in that 53-7 win over Greenwood Christian. And, you know, one of the unsung heroes of that team. I think Cody Parker gets overshadowed by some of the other stars, but he's been a really reliable receiver and an outstanding DB for him all season long.
Absolutely. I like those 2 picks a lot. Outstanding game from Green. Such an explosive runner, and just 1/3 of that terrific trio of running backs over there at BA. And great to see him back in full force after kind of being on and off the field for a couple weeks during the regular season. But outstanding to see him back at full strength, using that tremendous power, strength, and quickness. Runs so hard executes the game plan so well. Outstanding on both offense and special teams. Had a terrific game against JP2, and this BA group is looking dangerous with that high-powered rushing attack and a passing game that's really evolved with Brayden Dineen at the helm. And great pick there with Cody Parker. Two interceptions for the Thomas Herod Rebels. Such a fantastic playmaker, a reliable wideout, and doing some terrific work on the defensive side as well. So another outstanding two-way star for Thomas Hayward. That group is looking loaded heading into the postseason. So a couple of great selections. There's so many more we could have chosen, including in losing effort, Chase McCracken for Hilton Head High, over 200 rushing yards and two touchdowns. Outstanding job there, taking over for the Hilton Head Seahawks and leading that offense. So great work all around here as we get ready for the postseason starting this Friday. And should be another outstanding playoff run here for several Loco teams as we get ready for some big-time games on Friday night.
Well, I can't wait. And one other shout-out to Jalen Allen over at May River. He had 100 yards and two touchdowns rushing and just picked up an offer from the Citadel this morning on Monday. So great news for Jayon. Hopefully many more offers coming for him because he's definitely a guy who looks like he could play at the next level. So
nice little pipeline developing over there from May River to Citadel. Of course, that's where Mod Green is right now.
Yeah, I mean, they definitely instill the work ethic that is necessary to compete at that level and to be at the Citadel in that environment. So, you know, I think that it makes sense for the Citadel to recruit those May River guys. They definitely are, you know, used to performing in a system and high expectations and, you know, lots of work. So, you know, I think that's a great fit there. And hopefully Jayon will get some other opportunities to mull and end up with, you know, a great fit for him. But great news there and great news that we've got playoff football ahead on Friday, Wes. Can't wait to get back out there under the lights. And we will get you ready for it later in this week with our preview episode for the first round of the playoffs. We'll have Ian Guerin joining us to talk about all those matchups with the Myrtle Beach area schools. He knows those teams better than anybody else, and he'll get us ready for kickoff on Friday night. Playoffs, win, do or die, win or go home. That's as good as it gets right there. We're looking forward to it. That's going to do it for this episode. If you enjoyed it, you can subscribe to both the Loco Pigskin Podcast and the Loco Sports Lowdown wherever you get your podcasts. You'll get a notification every time a new episode drops. You'll never miss one. That's going to do it for this one. Thanks so much for joining us. For Wes Kerr, I'm Justin Jarrett. Until next time, go Loco.